As a run-up to the International Women's Day, we at Mrigashira are in conversation with three noticeable women, each doing her bit towards breaking down barriers for women in leadership. We are in discussions with Dr. Deepa Sethi, Mal Chakravarti, and Priya Bendre. In part two of the conversation, we will try lay down a broad roadmap for making equality a reality.
Dr. Deepa, you've been working with students, you've been training the leaders of tomorrow, you've been working with women from corporate circles, you've been working with men in the leadership roles. What, according to you, needs to change so that women are able to take the lead and we see a shift in the dropout rate?
Yeah, this is a very interesting question. And in my course, I have very often interacted with students during the regular PGP program as well as the management training programs, where I have found that lots need to change. We do talk of equality, but somewhere inside we have the hidden urge of being treated specially. So I'll be sharing my suggestions from three sides. First of all, women need to acknowledge the need to be treated equally, not specially, at the workplace. Women definitely need to avoid giving contradictory messages to the male counterparts through their communication, both verbal and non-verbal. We need to understand that we cannot earn equality unless we let go of our desire to be treated specially. Also, women need to be more supportive of other women. Unfortunately, it's not happening everywhere. Women need not let the honeybee syndrome overcome them, which again, unfortunately, is quite prevalent in our organizations these days. Coexistence should be our key rather than isolation. On the other hand, the male counterparts need to comprehend that women are to be treated equally and they are not demanding being treated specially at all. So if they are offering facilitation to a woman because of her gender, boss, there's a time to introspect. Treat her as an individual, as a human being. Organizations on the third side should accept that women need not be denied or offered opportunities based on their gender alone, but based on their expertise. So if there are women with expertise capable enough to lead organizations, there should be no hesitation in going ahead. After all, leadership is all about grit, determination, and resilience. And these things are definitely not gender specific.
Very pertinent points you've brought out, actually. And I'm not just feeling the walking the talk where sisterhood is concerned really need to be taken ahead in the true sense of the word. Mal, let me ask you, how can women become each other's strengths? I know Dr. Deepa's talked about some of the points, but she's talked about also from the lens of, students and people she meets. But from the corporate perspective, since you're working with Deloitte, how can women become each other's strengths in climbing the ladder of success?
Right. So Charu, let me address that from perspectives, having worked both on the agency side of seeing how there are crazy work hours, a different ball game of winning businesses, and then coming to the corporate side of really working with senior leaders, I think it's a very, very tough game of not just for women but communications professionals overall. Let's face it, we are one of the most stressed professionals, and it's been proven in a number of surveys. But how do we succeed, and especially women, when it comes to so many challenges? So, we already had a challenge of being always constantly available due to the way our communication industry works. We are often expected to be available at the call of leadership, and then there is COVID, which has also added to it, and bringing to that is a separate challenge of gender inequality, which we are talking about. So what really can be done in simple steps is something that I've been thinking of, and some of the things that really kind of inspire me is one of the things that I often talk about is when we nurture and probably help women to grow when they are probably in their mid-management level stepping towards the senior leadership. One of the key things that they need to be imbibed or nurtured towards is, what's the true meaning of leadership? And in my growing years, I have often used different testimonials or different walks or TEDx talks to kind of get more inspiration. And one of the key messages I remember, which I never forget, and I often go back and listen, is what Indira Nooyi once said: the meaning of a true leader is not just walking with respect yourself, but it is the true quality that comes when you give back. So the point is, how do you give back? I think time has come when women need to now go beyond and see what they have to do near their society, their environment of work, and possibly, if possible, try and grow with a network, you know, networks like ours, networks beyond, let's say just women-centric councils, but maybe in the larger communication fraternity where there's a larger pool of women. Those are the networks that women need to kind of connect with, because that's where the whole aspect of sisterhood comes. That's one point. The second point is the basic respect. What we have seen is, when women have the aspirations, especially women who are very, very aspirational or very, very aggressive, so-called aggressiveness, when kind of sits in your head, you want to rise, you often do not respect opinions, and you often, kind of want to just step onto somebody's shoulder and just walk and get yourself a position. I think that whole mindset needs to change, and that can only happen when there is a larger environment created, which is why I spoke about the fact that the management needs to look into talent or nurturing of talent and a continuous process of training and imbibing of culture of sisterhood needs to happen. So that is another aspect that we want to kind of really advocate. And thirdly, and most importantly, is that when there is a growth program that is charted, we have often seen that there is train the trainer program, or let's say there are different client sessions which women, when they are in senior leadership roles, or let's say they are leading a team, are given. I think there has to be an equal opportunity given to more and more women, because what we have often seen is there are also biases with respect to subjects. We will need to apply the fact that meritocracy or a clear culture of merit needs to be imbibed. That to me is the simple start to respecting each other and ensuring that we are creating more opportunities.
Right. No, I completely agree with you, and I would love to see a lot of this come true in my lifetime. But unfortunately, it seems that a recent study by the World Economic Forum's Global Gender Gap Report of 2020 indicates that it will still take more than a lifetime, at least 99 years more, it says, to make equality a reality. And this means none of us nor our children are likely to see it. But how can we pave the way for an equitable future? I know all of us are doing our bit. It's like a movement which is picking up in a big way. But I would like to know from each one of you ladies, your topmost tips. Dr. Deepa, may I request you to take the floor?
Yes. So I have these four tips to offer. And the first is, have a child within, which simply indicates being childlike, because that helps living in the moment, that helps being objective, that helps handling prejudices, stereotyping, and preconceived notions. So the second point is, love yourself, accept yourself. So it basically means accepting yourself as you are, along with your strengths and areas of improvement, which simply means being proud of your achievements, giving yourself another opportunity when you fail, not pitying yourself, not falling in self-anger always, treating yourself the way you want others to treat you, having control of your life, not letting others control you. The third thing is to keep the doors of communication open, which leads to objectivity, which leads to empathy, self-esteem, and assertiveness. We either become aggressive or passive-aggressive somewhere in the routine of our life. We have forgotten to be assertive. Be proud to be assertive. It's a quality. Don't stop yourself from communicating just because you perceive a negative response. A negative response is not the end of life. And finally, always respond, never react. Reactions by way of words and actions normally lead to regrets, and you trouble your own health, physical and mental. While responses most often lead to acceptance and very often solutions as well. These four tips do have a potential to bring some change, and we look forward to it.
I'm going to remove the word weakness from my dictionary from today for sure. Mo, the floor is all yours.
For me, it's about clear communication. So clear, communicate, and collaborate. There are these three big words. If women focus on these three, I think we will slowly start seeing some change, if not bigger changes, but you know, smaller changes in what and how we are approaching. So just to clarify, communicating means, you know, often we have seen women want to opine, they have a perspective. However, there are biases, there are roadblocks in what they bring to the table and what is being really respected. I think as a first step, as any management should do, is to bring opportunities or to probably bring the kind of respect in their view of things to let women opine. We need to get a voice, and that voice needs to be respected. The second is be very clear. I think often what has happened is because by virtue of the environment that we have been always working, whether it is the societal pressure or the way women have seen growth trajectory, they are often not clear as to how they should go after a certain point, which is why we have seen that after the mid-management level, there is no clarity in their goals. We need to kind of imbibe a culture of having a clarity, and if required, the folks in human resources need to work very closely with people of the management to kind of introduce a way that there is a clear understanding of what is the goal setting. Because often appraisal systems or, you know, the growth path is not so clear. It could be subjective, and when it comes at the end of the year, there is a struggle of what a particular woman really aspired for and what she kind of led to. So the second point or tip from my end will be have a very clear goal setting process. The third is, of course, collaboration, very important in today's day and time. And women leaders need to really understand the strength of this. Your entire stakeholder network will be successful only when you can pull your sisters. Well, you create an opportunity for another sister. That's where you grow and you progress further, because then you are creating an opportunity for generations to come. So very clearly three C's, and if these threes are imbibed in practicality, for me, I think that will be a stepping stone to the bigger change that we're looking forward.
No, absolutely. I've always maintained in all these years of my profession in communication that, you know, the biggest mistake that we all make is we often forget to communicate within ourselves while we may be great communicators. Priya, I'm going to move to you to talk about your topmost tips for me.
I think there are two big steps that we need to take to sort of build an equitable future. One is take charge. You know, a lot of times women communicators and, you know, women professionals sort of go with the flow with no real clarity of thought in the sense of where they would like to be in a year, where they'd like to be maybe 5 years down the line. You know, I believe it's a lot to do with how the team is functioning, how the team lead is sort of drawing out direction for them, and also their own thought of where they want to be. I feel that is a big gap which sort of needs to be plugged. If we all take charge of where we want to be, take charge of the specialty that we want to be in, the workplace we want to live in, and sort of the team that we want to build, a cohesive team that collectively works towards, common goals. I think it's a big step. Another thing that I feel we should be looking at doing is stop stereotyping. Stereotypes always exist. They are covert, overt. They happen across all workplaces. I feel because they've been glamorized and, which is why they've sort of led to women being pitted against each other to sort of build competition. I feel we need to eradicate that. There's no competition between women. I think the only workplace competition we have is the one with our peers for an equal playground, for an equal promotion, for an equal advancement. There is no real, competition. It's all a stereotype that's been built and commercialized over the years. I feel we need to fight that. And, once we take these two massive steps and sort of build an atmosphere where everyone can speak their mind, when everyone can seek help, and when everyone can actually talk about what is their requirement, build a clear path towards success or towards advancement, I feel that is something that you all need to proactively do. I feel by following these two steps, we will be setting the foundation for an equitable future. And, at that point, I don't think it will remain a concept. It will become the foundation of every workplace. We will not have to strive for it, but we will probably work in a workplace that believes or rather is based on the foundation of equity and equality.
Thank you, ladies, for lending a voice and giving us some food for thought. Hope you enjoy listening to Megashara, a podcast for communication folks. Do share your suggestions and feedback on Megashara at digitales.co.in. Have a great week ahead, and do not forget to tune in next week. Adios.